The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into it, the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, good morning, everyone. After Mass, make sure as you're exiting, we put out donuts for you. The rain ruined our plans a little bit. I had envisioned a beautiful spring morning. The sun was shining in the trees. Would have been a glorious occasion to hang out in the beautiful square out front there with donuts and coffee. Would have been a lovely Divine Mercy Sunday. But then the rain has kind of ruined it. And so we're just going to put out the donuts inside there. Please grab them on your way out, because we ordered hundreds of donuts for the parish this weekend. And so I can't eat it all. And so please make sure you grab your donuts. You know, here at our parish, we have a glorious problem. A glorious problem. And we saw it yesterday, if you were here for confessions. We simply have too many people that want to go to confession. And it was a glorious problem. And if you ever come a little earlier, and you have to come early if you want to ensure to come to confession. So now as I've been looking at it and discerning, I need to add more confession times to our already packed schedule, but it's worth the extra work and sacrifice. But if you ever come early, you'll see Father Carlos goes in his corner, and I go in my corner. And before I come out there, I kneel before the Lord, before I go into the box, and I pray. I pray for the gift to to read your souls. That if there's anything that I need with the Lord's help, to help bring out of your heart as you bring your faults and your failings. And I pray that I'll be able to offer some words of consolation or advice or counsel that would help on your path as you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And then I pray that I'd be able to be his instrument for whatever happens. Because, yeah, I have no idea what happens in there. Again, you get this, all the entire spectrum of humanity in that room. And then I go in, and then I hear your confessions. I try to hear so many confessions because the line was so long. I was trying to hear confessions, but I had the 5 p.m. mass. And I'm trying to get through as many people as possible. And so if I'm ever rushed in there, it's not because I hate you, but because I know, gosh, there's 20 more people on the line and I got 10 minutes, so I'm trying to get through as many people as possible. And sure enough, I heard confessions at 5:02 p.m. And then finally I just said, sorry, I have to get ready for Mass. And I had to get inside. But even though I was already late for Mass, which is common, right? I popped out and I knelt here again. After confessions, church is already full for 5 p.m. Mass. And I kneel again, and I say sorry to Jesus. Jesus, sorry I'm an idiot. Sorry if I was short to somebody. Sorry if I offered some pious platitude that wasn't heartfelt. Because you can imagine, I'm sitting in that box, and again, you could be repeated for every Catholic priest. We sit in there, and then you have to immediately attune to the soul that's in front of you. Again, it could be somebody that has been away from the Catholic Church for decades. And so you have to immediately recognize this soul in front of me is in a fragile state. Be careful what you say. Because how many times you've all had horror stories in the confessional? Oh, I hear it all the time. Some priest was mean, cranky, bitter, or just flat out rude, and it shattered a soul, and they disappeared from the Catholic Church for decades again. And finally, God works, and they come back. And I'm always hearing these stories, and I'm very mindful. Be careful what you say. And you have to be immediately attentive, be delicate. But at the same time, you can have a soul in there, the next person, that suddenly needs a firmer hand. And then how do you discern which is which? And then you have some little kid coming in there. Then you're like, okay, they be gentle with the little kid. And then you have somebody else that's regular. So you immediately have to adapt on the fly. You can't just simply lay back and just relax. No. You have to be a master in there. And it's rough. So that's why after confession, I always come out and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Provide for whatever failure. And how glorious it is. And I happily will add more hours of confession to our weekly schedule. Why? Because our Lord is divine mercy. This great Sunday within, right after Easter, how beautiful the wisdom of the church. Right after we celebrate the most pivotal doctrine of our Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, immediately the church calls our attention to mercy. Here in the beautiful gospel today, the disciples are still trying to figure out the implications of what does it mean that Jesus has been risen from the dead. And they're terrified, don't we? This is where we encounter the disciples. It says, and I quote, on the first day of the week, the doors were locked. Why? Why are the disciples afraid here? Well, because they just killed Jesus. And the same people that killed Jesus, they're still in power. They're still outside of the doors, and the disciples, and rightly so, were worried the same fate that our Lord endured would be theirs. They saw the crucifixion, they saw the arrest, they saw the torture. And of course, they didn't want to end up like that. So they're afraid. And then, again, the strangeness of the resurrected body of our Lord, because despite the doors being locked and secure, Jesus just walks through it. Again, the mystery of the glorified body, which this is another homily for another day, which we also will receive, by the way. One day we will get our bodies back, just like our Lord. And then notice this next. Three times within the span of a few verses, Jesus repeats the phrase, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And then the next line, notice this next. If you've ever wondered why, or if you've ever been challenged by a non-Catholic Christian, why, as Catholics, do you come to us as priests to go to confession? Why don't you just go to God in the privacy of your room and just confess your sins on your own? You can do that, and the Lord will hear your prayer, of course, the sincerity of your heart, the Lord knows. But why wait in line for hours and to hear some priest ramble on? Well, right here, notice this next. As Jesus now, the risen Lord, appears to them, he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, this is the key line right here. Listen up. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." At that very moment, speaking to his first priest, Jesus gives his disciples, the priests, his very own authority to forgive sins. Right here, Jesus gives me my job description. Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and those whose sins you retain are retained. Right here. And this key word, "and Jesus breathed on them," is directly parallel to Genesis chapter 2. That word "breathe" is the same word. Now let's jump all the way back to the very beginning, to the creation of man. Our Lord in Genesis 2, verse 7. The two are meant to be parallel. So let's go back to the very beginning of our Lord. As God is creating the universe and his crowning creation is us. And he says, listen again. "Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth." So there's God taking the earth, the clay, the very corporal nature of the universe, the physical touch. He forms us out of dust, out of dirt. But we're not alive yet at that moment. We're an empty shell. We're not breathing. Watch what happens next. "And he breathed his breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living creature." Right there, at the moment of creation in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, humanity is created. This is where, in Genesis 1, verse 27, where it said God created us in his image and likeness, there it is truly and fully given. The unique life of every single human being endowed with eternal value and worth. Our Lord breathed into Adam. That same word now returns. When Jesus breathed into his disciples. Why? Because their mission henceforth is to go out into the world and to restore dead souls, dead human beings, corrupted and separated by God by original sin, and henceforth every other sin that we personally commit, to bring them back to life. This is an image of the divine mercy. Our Lord again, in 1930, revealing himself in an apparition, in a vision to Saint Faustina in Poland. In this beautiful image, this is the original image, the original vision that Sister Faustina had commissioned to paint. She found a local Polish artist to paint the vision because our Lord had told her in this private revelation, I want you to paint an image of what you see. And this is the first one. It is Jesus walking out of the darkness. Again, why darkness? This is the 1930s. What is happening in this time period in Poland? We are in the midst of the Nazi takeover. World War II is ramping up. The 20th century was the worst century in human history. World wars, we had become brutally efficient at massacring each other. Just by sheer numbers, the 20th century saw over 100 million people slaughtered. The rise of totalitarian regimes and ideologies, the full wiping out of entire nations. And for the first time, the word genocide entered our vocabulary. Oh, humanity had become especially dark. And in this filth, the Lord appeared. Mercy. I am the divine mercy. Through this beautiful apparition of our Lord to Sister Faustina, what Sister Faustina was told, go to humanity and tell them of my love. Tell them they do not have to be afraid anymore. Tell them to come to me with all of their filth and darkness. Because radiating from his heart, if you notice his left hand, it is firmly on his heart, his right hand raised in a blessing. Radiating forth from his heart are two rays of light, white and red. The red representing his blood, the white representing the cleansing waters of baptism. Again, his hand on the right, the gesture of a priest. When you go to that room, we're told in the confessional and seminary, when you pray over the one in the confessional, raise your right hand. If you go behind the screen, you don't see this gesture, but I place my hand over your head. As I say those stunning words, and I absolve you from your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'll leave you with this lasting vision. In the diary of Sister Faustina, she writes, our Lord telling her, my mercy is like an ocean. So imagine now, luckily we live not too far from the coast. We can go to the Pacific Ocean. Have you ever gone to the coast and wondered in awe at the vast expanse of the Pacific? It is huge. Our Lord said that his mercy is like the ocean. And our sins, no matter how heinous, or how disgusting and pus-ridden. He says, in the ocean of my mercy, our sins, my sin, is but a raindrop in the ocean of my mercy. Do not be afraid to come to confession. Just come. And I promise I'll be nice to you. I might even give you a donut.